Our first reading tonight is Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Our second reading is John chapter 6, starting at verse 25. When the crowd found him on the other side of the lake, they asked Jesus, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day."
Thanks, Dousty, and it is good to be together tonight, brothers and sisters. If you're visiting tonight in support of the Ford family, welcome. It is great to have you with us tonight. And if I haven't met you, my name's Tom, and I want to share with you from that passage tonight because it offers us hope in our grief. And Bruce has very kindly set up for us the Lord's Supper tonight, which also helps us reflect on Jesus' promises to us that he is the bread of life. And Bruce, I'm noticing that we've got probably more people in the room than we expected, so we might need a little top-up of grape juice and bread along the way. So maybe someone can be alert to assist Bruce with that when we get to that part of the service. Let's pray and ask for God's help tonight. Our loving Heavenly Father, we do give you great thanks that you're a God who speaks comforting words to us, but true words to us, about life and about death, so that we may mourn with the hope that comes from knowing what Jesus has accomplished in his death and resurrection. So we pray you teach us tonight and encourage us and give us hope. Amen. I wonder if you've ever noticed just how often, as you look at the Bible, Jesus talks about death and life. He refers to it constantly throughout the Gospels, and he encourages his disciples to prepare for their coming death. His claim is that anyone who comes to him will benefit in at least two ways. Firstly, they'll never hunger or thirst again, as we've just read in that passage. And secondly, they will be raised from death to life for all eternity. They're enormous claims, aren't they? And they help us as we face the pain of the reality of death and separation from our loved ones. If Jesus' claims are not genuine, if they're not trustworthy, then we're left with very little certainty about what happens to us in death, and we have no certainty of reunion with our loved ones. But if Jesus' claims are true and genuine, then these words give us enormous hope in the face of death, that reunion with Jesus and the Lord is possible, that life beyond this world is possible, and that reunion with our loved ones is not only possible but guaranteed through the saving work of the Lord Jesus. So tonight I want to spend a few minutes reflecting with you on these claims of Jesus, and I hope you're not going to be disappointed that I'm keeping this talk shorter than usual. Maybe that excites some of you, but that's so we've got a little bit more time than usual at the end of our meeting to spend together and pray. Well, the background to this passage is that Jesus has just performed two of his probably most spectacular miracles. He's just fed 5,000 men, probably the same number of women and maybe the same number of children on the shores of the lake, from a little boy's small lunchbox of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And it's an astonishing miracle proving that Jesus is the one who can provide everything that we need. And then as he's caught up with his disciples, he's gone to be with them on their boat by walking on the surface of the ocean, demonstrating that he is the one with authority over all things, but particularly the one who is given authority to forgive and to give life. We see that this same crowd who was fed the day before have tracked Jesus down, and it seems clear that they're keen for another feed. They want more to eat. Have a look with me at verses 26 to 29. We read, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." The crowd want more to eat. They've followed Jesus just to get the food. But Jesus warns them against missing the point of what they experienced the day before. Bread is good, but it only satisfies temporarily. One day, you eat, the next, you're hungry again. And Jesus warns them not to work for this kind of food alone, but to work instead for food that will satisfy them forever, for eternity and permanently. And it's pretty easy to see that he's not talking about bread at this point, but himself. He who is the bread of life. It's easy for us to kind of look at this and think, yeah, they were pretty short-sighted. But actually, it is easy for us, even as Christians, to be just as short-sighted in our concerns in our own life. As long as we can pay the bills and feed our family today, then it's easy just to be content with that and not think about the more serious and pressing issue of eternity. But then a day like today comes along and reminds us that there is something more important to consider. So I want to point out to you Jesus' concern for these people. They're very misguided, aren't they? They're completely off track, but he has compassion on them. He doesn't brush them off or ignore them, but he demonstrates a very real concern for them. He wants them to know how to get their hands on this food that satisfies forever. And his concern for each one of us tonight is precisely the same. He tells us where to find this food and how to get it. Firstly, where? The source of this food is Jesus himself, isn't it? He says in verse 27, "Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Jesus is God's approved representative to give life, with the authority to give life. A few years ago, I had to have some repairs made to my car after I discovered an inconveniently placed tree in a car park. It's just one of those embarrassing things. And turning up to the panel beaters to get the car fixed, there was really only one thing that I was interested in seeing displayed in their shop front, which was that NRMA logo. Because it gives the seal of approval, doesn't it? That this work will be done well and it'll be guaranteed. It'll be under warranty for the long term. I trust that seal of approval. And as Jesus speaks to the crowd, he wants them to understand that he bears God's seal of approval as the true source of eternal life. He's shown it, hasn't he? Difficult for anyone else to feed a crowd of 5,000, difficult for anyone else to walk out to his disciples on water, he has demonstrated that he is the Son of God. The crowd were already convinced that he had God's seal of approval because they'd been there as he'd fed them, but they'd missed the point. And so they ask in verse 28, what must we do to do the works God requires? And so secondly, Jesus tells them how to get this eternal life, this bread of life. Jesus answered in verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. It's an interesting answer, isn't it? He said, don't work for bread, work for bread that satisfies. They've asked, well, what work do we have to do? What do we have to do in order to get this life? And Jesus says, you can't really do anything to get it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It can't really be grasped by your own efforts. This gift comes from God and is given. There's only one way to receive eternal life, and that is to believe in Jesus, the one God has sent. How can you and I trust Jesus at his word? Well, verse 38, skipping forward a little bit in this passage, Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus came to do his Father's will, not his own will, and the Father's will was that he would bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe in him. Just think about the famous passage in John's Gospel earlier on, in John 3:16, so familiar to us, but listen to it afresh because it is quite stunning what Jesus is claiming there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. Doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter what history or past they have, they will be given the gift of eternal life if they work for this bread of life or if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his guarantee. So Jesus did his Father's will in coming and laying down his life for us, in dying in our place as the one that God had approved of. Jesus' death now guarantees life to all who believe. He is the bread of life. He's able to raise us from death to new life. And so the challenge tonight is, where do we place our belief? Where is our trust? Have you come to the point of trusting Jesus' claims that he is able to actually give you life beyond this world? There's a lovely hymn that you might have heard called There Is a Green Hill, and it reflects on the certainty of the life that we have to look forward to when we trust in Jesus. I will not sing it, but here's the verse. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly, he has loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood and try his works to do. That work of belief and following him. Jesus says to us today, that wonderful verse, John 6, verse 40, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Today we're experiencing the shock of Stu's death. At 49, Stu was young. I never told him that, but he was young, wasn't he? The right side of 50. Nothing could have prepared us for this his sudden departure, and it is difficult to come to grips with the manner in which the Lord called him home. Those of you who know Stu know well that he was a picture of health. Stu was a member of the local triathlon club. In the last few years, he'd competed in major triathlons, including the Ironman event. He was a picture of health. Stu loved being involved with people. He was a sports chaplain to this triathlon club, a role which saw him supporting many other people in their life struggles and sorrows. He was currently serving as treasurer for the Sutherland Board of Christian Education, which oversees SRE in local high schools. And you might not be aware, but Stu led the team in the cardiothoracic imaging unit at St George Hospital. Did I get that right, Luca? You think so? Okay, good. His life was all about serving and helping others. And of course, Stu was an active husband to Nicole and an active Christian dad to Ella, Jonah and Luca, and very much a rock to his family and a servant in our church family too. And so when you think about that, it's actually very difficult to come to terms with the fact that he's gone, isn't it? And it's very difficult to accept God's timing. He leaves a very large hole, and we struggle to make sense of God's purposes in that. Last Sunday, he led this service. He led our 6 p.m. service with his characteristic good humour and dry wit, which he seemed to enjoy. And he called us at the end of that meeting to a challenge. We just heard a passage which had challenged us to be prepared for our coming death. And he finished the meeting by saying to us, be prepared to meet your God. And those words have great impact, don't they, tonight, as we just consider the reality that no matter how strong we are just frail vessels and our days are in God's hands. So how can we respond to our sense of shock and sadness? Well, there's many ways, and hopefully we can comfort each other tonight as we spend time together after the service. But from this passage tonight, we can take real courage and comfort in what we know to be true of Stu. He was a man who had prepared. He was thoroughly prepared to meet his God because he was a man who had put his trust in Jesus. He had received Jesus as the bread of life. And there's huge comfort in that for us. Stu has real and eternal life through the Lord Jesus. And isn't this amazing? We know Stu is not lost. Stu is at home. What an incredible thing to be able to say with confidence. He is with Christ. He is safe. We can find real hope in the wonderful truths that we've heard from Jesus tonight, who is the bread of life. But secondly, we can follow Stu's lead by receiving Jesus as our food for eternity, the one who guarantees us life beyond this life. In a little while, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper, which is a very wonderful but symbolic meal that Jesus gave his disciples and has given to us to enable us to demonstrate our trust in him as the bread of life. As we eat the bread and drink the grape juice, we're actually making a statement, aren't we, that we trust that Jesus is the bread of life, that he is the one who leads us into this wonderful future and eternity. He is the one who has purchased our forgiveness and bought us life at the cross. By eating and drinking, we make the statement to one another that we're preparing for our own eternal future by accepting Jesus as our bread, recognising our own need of his forgiveness and relying on him. And of course, we can respond in coming days and weeks and months in supporting and encouraging Stu's family. And I'm so glad you're here tonight, Ella and Luca. It is great to have you here. As they seek to keep trusting God in the face of this difficult time, and we can be praying for them that they may have this certain hope that Jesus is their bread of life, and that stew is secure with him, and that one day they will be reunited with him. So let's pray. Our loving Father, we do give you thanks that in our sadness you offer us lasting hope, Jesus, the bread of life. We praise you for our hope of light and life beyond death, and for the comfort it brings us in knowing stew is home with you. Lord, we pray for ourselves that you would keep us trusting in Jesus. And we pray for Nicole, Ella, Jonah and Luca and their family, that you would comfort them in every way and enable them to know the certainty of your love for them. Amen. I think we're going to sing again. Is that right, Dan? Would